Anantakoti Vaishnavrindijai Namacharya Shiharidas Thakur Kijai Premse Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Parabha Nichananda Shidwaita Ganadha Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrindijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govinda Sayam Kunda Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturam Kijai, Navadidam Kijai, Jagadasami Kijai, Yumunamai Kijai, Shimadi Lasidevi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaura Primananda All glorious, he assembled the devotees, all glorious, he assembled the devotees, all glorious, he assembled the devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Shri Bhagavad Ki Jai, Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. So, Om Aganath Timuranda Shah Gananjana, Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, we are very fortunate to be celebrating the Vratiyatra Festival today. And this festival was the favorite of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who started performing this festival himself when he was very, very young, like 5 years old, in the streets of Calcutta. And Srila Prabhupada comments that he would continually look at the train schedules, that is, the train schedules between Calcutta and Jagannath Puri, and just plan and think about how to get to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath. So today we're going to start off the class discussing why Lord Jagannath looks like he does, why Subhadra looks like she does, why Baladev looks like he does. So we're going to talk about what's called the exoteric and the esoteric reasons for that. Two reasons. Exoteric means the story that you normally hear about, that is, with the sculptor, with the half-finished deities. And the esoteric means why Krishna looks like that, why Krishna chooses to look like that. So there's two reasons. And just like there's two reasons for the Rathyatra festival, one reason is to benedict everybody, that's the exoteric reason, to give everybody Lord Jagannath's association. And the esoteric reason is that the Lord is being dragged by the residents of Vrindavan back to Vrindavan. And the Gudnicha temple represents Vrindavan. We'll talk about that a little later. Okay, so let's talk about the esoteric reason why Lord Jagannath looks like he does. You know, a very unusual deity. Well, here's the story told by In the Shastras, by one of my godbrothers also, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, that once upon a time, Krishna's wives in Dwarka were very curious to understand about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And they were very curious because they were continually hearing about Krishna's associates in Vrindavan. There's the story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that when Krishna was sleeping at night, of course we understand the Lord doesn't sleep, he rests, or it's a pastime. But when Krishna was lying in his bed at night, he would be crying out the names of the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly his girlfriends in Vrindavan, like Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, and not very often Chandravali. But Radha, Lalita, Vishakha. He'd be crawling that out, and his wives would naturally not be too happy with that. You can imagine, some of you may be married, and if you were calling out the names of your previous girlfriends in the sleep, I think it would be a cause for a lot of problems in your marital life, right? You know. So Krishna was doing that, and a certain wives of Krishna actually exhibited their anger towards Krishna, like Satyabhama. I mean, sometimes Krishna just had to tell Satyabhama to be quiet. And even called her by the name of her father, in relationship to her father, Satrajitti. He said, oh, daughter of Satrajit. And when you don't like someone very much, you call them in terms of someone else, instead of your own relation. Instead of saying, my wife, you say, hey, daughter of whatever. So that indicated Krishna was very angry. And one time Krishna actually said, actually, I didn't want to marry you, but somehow or other you reminded me of my girlfriends. That's another cause for divorce in the modern world, where you tell your wife, you look just like the girlfriend I used to have. Not as pretty, but, you know, you look a little bit like her. That's why I got married to you. So, anyway, so the wives of Krishna were very curious. What did Krishna do in Vrindavan? They wanted to hear about the Braj pastimes. Okay, so they naturally consulted someone who was there in Braj. And that's Balaram's mother. What's the name of Balaram's mother? Anyone know? Rohini. Balaram is known as Rohini Sutta. So, Balaram's mother was there in Vrindavan. She is actually another wife of Vasudev. She's another wife of Vasudev. And she was living in Vrindavan under the protection of Nanda Maharaj. And she gave birth to Balaram. So they asked her, they said, "My dear Rohini Devi, please tell us about Krishna's pastimes in Braj." And she said, "I'll be glad to tell you about Krishna's pastimes in Braj. However, I have to make sure that Krishna and Balaram don't hear about these pastimes. Because if they hear them, they're going to want to go back to Braj, or they'll fall unconscious, or something unusual will happen. So we're going to go to this secluded place in the palace, and we're going to have this discourse about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan." So she said, "We're going to post someone at the door, Chokidar, or Chokidari, a lady." And the lady was Subhadra, Krishna's sister. So Subhadra was posted at the door, and they were telling about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And you know, when something's happening in secret behind a door, what you want to do? You want to put your ear to the door, right? At least I have that inclination. When people are whispering, I want to hear more of what they're saying. Then, just like we were in someone's house the other day, and someone came to me and said, "I want to tell you something in secret." And the children were there. And the children said, "No." And they just absolutely refused. So whenever there's a secret, that means we want to know what it is. Someone says to us, "I have something to tell you I'm not allowed to tell you." That really drives you crazy, isn't it? So Subhadra was thinking, you know, "I'm not supposed to hear what's going on. I'm just supposed to stand guard at the door." So she put her ear to the door and she started to hear about Krishna's Jai Shri Shri Radhamadan Mohan. Born in Thai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. She started to hear about Krishna's wonderful pastimes, Madhurya, sweet pastimes of Vrindavan. And when she was listening, she exhibited symptoms of ecstasy. Now, in the spiritual realm, there are different bhavas. Bhava means emotion. And the acharyas have analyzed these bhavas. And one bhava we're talking about is Vyabhacharya bhava. So the residents of the spiritual world, what to speak of Krishna and his energies, have the ability to manifest the bhavas with their, that actually changes the way their bodies look. I'll give you an example from Vaikuntha. This is also mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That the residents of Vaikuntha, even though they're generally forearm forms, either Lakshmi or Narayan looking like, sometimes to please the Lord they may appear as birds or monkeys or whatever to please the Lord in terms of their even previous relationship with the Lord while they were here in the material world. Brihad Bhagavatamrita goes into great depth in discussing this particular thing. So the mood, because the body of someone in the spiritual world is the same as the person. Here, our bodies are different, right? So we have a limited control of the body. Very, very limited. If we have a certain mood, we can change our face or something like that. You know, we can be unhappy, we can smile, we can do different things like that. But in the spiritual world, the mood, according to the Vyabhachari Bhava, that means the intermittent, uncontrolled emotions. There's different types of emotions in the spiritual world. There's the Sattvika Bhava, that means the emotions you always have. There's the Anubhava, which is the symptoms of ecstasy that generally occur, and then there's the Vyabhachari Bhava, which is just very intermittent but uncontrollable. So what happened is that Subhadra, when she heard what was going on, her eyes opened wide and her arms shrunk up into her body. And she looked like the deity we have of Subhadra. And then Balaram happened to walk by and he saw Subhadra looking like she was looking. And he got a little surprised. Not just a little, very surprised. And he was thinking, what is she listening to? So he put his ear to the door and he heard the same thing. And remembering the past times in Vrindavan, and his body also changed form. His eyes were wide. Because suddenly, when you hear something really amazing, your eyes open like saucers, right? Of course, our eyes are limited as far as what they can do. You know, they still remain like little slits. But in the spiritual realm, your eyes can actually open up like round. So his eyes opened up wide, and he looked like the Baladev deity that we have with the Jagannath deities. And then, of course, the same thing happened with Lord Jagannath, with Krishna. When he heard and saw, when he saw Baladev like that, and then he heard what was going on, and then he also exhibited that. So really, the Jagannath deities, the reason Krishna looks like that, Baladev looks like that, Subhadra looks like that, is that it is exhibiting the intense mood of separation from Vrindavan. Krishna's always thinking of Vrindavan, always thinking, even when he, of course we understand one sense Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan, but even when Krishna manifests his pastimes outside of Vrindavan, he's always thinking of Vrindavan and experiencing a great mood of Vipralamba from Vrindavan. So here you have Rath Yatra, where Krishna is experiencing separation from Vrindavan and Srimati Radharani. And you have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is dancing in the mood of Radharani. He is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. So Krishna in the mood of Radharani is feeling separation from Krishna, and Krishna as Lord Jagannath is feeling separation from Radharani and the residents of Vrindavan, and therefore so many ecstatic manifestations are being exhibited. So that's what's called the esoteric reason that Lord Jagannath looks like he does. Now, we'll talk about the exoteric, and that's a little bit of a longer story. Once upon a time, there was a king named King Indradunya. Some of you have heard this story before. And this story is told in the Puranas. This King Indradunya had heard about a beautiful form of the Lord named Nilamadava. And he was, because Brahmins used to visit his kingdom, and he was thinking, you know, how can I see this deity, or how can I find this deity? So while he was thinking like that, he thought of a plan. He thought, let me send out all my associates or the ministers to find out where this deity is. So he sent them all out, and practically none of them could find out anything. Except there was one minister named Vidyapati. He was a Brahmin. Because the ministers in those days, they were Brahmins. They weren't politicians like we have nowadays. The problem with politicians is that they're simply thinking of money and their position. And that's the problem with democracy, which Prabhupada sometimes called democracy, right? Because they're not interested in the people, or they're not interested in truth. They're simply interested in their own self. And that's what's causing the problems in the world today. Economic problems, social problems, and political problems, and so many other problems, terrorism and everything like that. Because people are manipulating others for their own interest. So, anyway, so Vidyapati, he went out and tried to find someone. And he finally came to a district where there was non-Aryan people. They were called Savaravs. Savarav basically means pig eaters. You know, people who eat pigs. Of course, nowadays in modern society, practically everyone eats pigs, cows, anything they can get their hands on. Even the devotees were telling me, I was staying in someone's house where they have slugs. And they said that they have a cookbook how to cook slugs. These devotees don't do that. But still, they have a cookbook somehow or other. 1,001 ways to cook slugs for breakfast. So, these Shabaras, They ate pigs. And so he took shelter in the house of one of these Shabaras. And the Shabara's name was Vishvasu. And Vishvasu wasn't home. So in the meantime, he was taken care of by the Shabara's daughter, whose name was Lalita, which is a very auspicious name. And so Lalita was rendering service, and eventually he fell in love with Lalita, and he married Lalita, and the Shabara agreed to this particular arrangement. And so while he was living in the house, he noticed the Shabara would be going out every night and not come back till the next day. And the next day he would come back, and he would smell like camphor, musk, and so many wonderful substances. It was like he went to the spiritual world or the heavenly planets. And so Vidyapati asked his wife Lalita, "What's happening?" And Lalita had been told by her father not to tell anyone, but, you know, sometimes when you tell someone not to tell anyone, they tell someone. That's the best way to spread the word. You say, "Don't tell anyone, this is a secret." And then they say, "I'm not supposed to tell anyone, but don't tell anyone that I told you. And don't tell anyone else." Sure. And so within 3 days, it's all over the world, especially with the internet. So he found out about her father going to see Nilamadava. So then he begged her, and he begged the father, "Please let me go, please let me go." Finally, the father relented, and he said, "All right, you can go, but you're going to have your eyes blindfolded. And so you're not going to be able to figure out where we're going. You can see, we'll take off the blindfold when you get there, but you can't see where we're going." But he had a plan. He had Lalita's wife put some mustard seeds in his cloth so he could drop off mustard seeds as he was going up the hill. So he went up to the hill where the deity was, and blindfolded, mustard seeds were dropping off. And then he saw the deity, and he was amazed with the beauty of the deity. Not only was he amazed with the beauty of the deity, but he saw something so amazing that he had never seen before, which was right near where the deity was, there was a lake. And there was a tree. And on that tree, there was a crow. And the crow fell off the tree somehow or other, entered into the lake, died, drowned in the lake. And then immediately a Vaikuntha airplane came. And the crow assumed a forearm form and went back to Godhead. So that was, he was amazed at seeing that. And when he saw that, he had a plan. And his plan was that he would do the same thing. He was going to jump into the lake, kill himself, and go back to Godhead. But then he heard a voice from the sky and said, this is not proper, Brahman. What you have to do is inform King Indradunya about what had happened, about this deity. And so he stopped, wasn't going to jump in the lake at that particular time. So then the Shabara returned. And while the Shabara was worshiping the deity, he heard the deity say to him, "For so many days I've accepted this simple offering. Now I want something more opulent. I want to be worshipped by King Indradunya." So when the Shabara heard this, he was completely upset because he was very much attached to worshipping Nilamadava, very devoted to Nilamadava. Even though all he could offer were leaves and fruits, you know, just very, very simple food, still he was very, very attached. And so he thought, "I'm not going to let this happen. Even though Krishna wants it, I'm going to keep it from happening." So he tied up Vidyapati. And he wouldn't let Vidyapati go. Finally, Vidyapati's wife, Lalita, convinced her father to let him go. And then Vidyapati went to King Indradunya in great ecstasy and said, "I found the deity." So King Indradunya came, all the king's horses and all the king's men, as it says. He came to see the deity. And they followed this trail of mustard plants all the way up the hill. And when they followed it, they could not see Nilamadava. He was gone. And so the king naturally thought the Shabara was at fault, so he took the Shabara, tied him up, kept him in chains. But then he heard a voice from the sky saying, "Let this Shabara go." Because I will actually appear to you on the top of this Nila. Nila means blackish hill, and it's in Jagannath Puri. And there as Daru Brahman. Daru Brahman means the Brahman in wood, who manifests through wood. You will see me, but you will not be able to see me as Nila Madhava. You will see me as this form in wood. So the king went to this place, and he began to construct a temple in Jagannath Puri. At that time, the place was known as Ramakrishnapura, not Jagannath Puri. And the place, Jagannath Puri, is actually in the shape of a conch shell. And so at the temple was built, the king had a kalash on top and a chakra on top of the temple, and then he went to Lord Brahma to consecrate this temple. He was thinking, you know, we have to do a proper either Bhumi Puja or temple consecration or deity worship or something like that. So the problem is that when you go to Lord Brahma to see something, Lord Brahma's experience of time, at least on his planet, is different than our experience of time on this planet. And so like one moment, one instant in Lord Brahma's planet is like 1 year on this planet. You remember when Lord Brahma stole the cows, the calves and the coward boys? And he just thought about it for an instant. Then he came back, it was a year later. And then Krishna taught him a lesson. So he went away, and while he was away, then there came another king, whose name was Suradev, and then another king named Galamadava. And Galamadava took over that whole area. And Galamadava uncovered the temple, which had previously been covered by all sorts of sand, because Jagannath Puri is actually a very sandy place. It's by the beach. And so he uncovered the temple, and he claimed that he had made the temple. He said, "I have made the temple." And then Indradyumna Maharaj came back, and he said, "Actually, it was me who made the temple." So they had a big argument back and forth. "No, it was me. No, it was me. You didn't make the temple. I made the temple." But it was resolved by a crow. There was a crow, what's called a Bhushandi crow, which means a very big crow. Anyone here has been to Jagannath Puri? Some of you may have. The crows there are bigger than ever I've ever seen anywhere else in the world. Maha crows. You know, big. Anyway, they're crows. So generally, just to tell you about this crow, generally a crow is considered inauspicious. In the Bhagavatam, you have a description of place of pilgrimage for crows. Because why are the crows considered auspicious? Because they hang out around the garbage dumps and the sewerage, and they eat all that stuff. And the swan is considered auspicious. So the crow, you know, if you say to someone, "You're a crow," it's not really appraising them that much. You crow-like person. So this crow happened to be a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And he was continually chanting the glories of Lord Ramchandra. In fact, there's even a story how Garuda, the carrier of Lord Ramchandra, carrier of Lord Vishnu, when he wanted to hear about Lord Ramchandra, he had to go to the crow. And the crow told him about the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, Bhushandi crow. So this Bhushandi crow had been living for many, many millions of years. So the Bhushandi crow was a witness as to who had actually constructed this temple. And he said it was actually King Indradyumna. So when that was resolved, then this king, Galamadava, was no longer king. He was kicked out of his kingdom, and he was kept out of Jagannath Puri. So then, King Indradyumna wanted to continue to consecrate the temple, so he prayed to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma came, but Lord Brahma said, "I cannot consecrate this temple. This temple is in a holy place, which is always a holy place." Now, sometimes there's permanent holy places and temporary holy places. Temporary holy places are places where we may construct a temple. And permanent holy places are those places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri. It's not that you make them holy places. But we can make a place a holy place by chanting and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and performing devotional service. That's why the temples are considered Vaikuntha. as Srila Prabhupada said, it means a place without anxiety, a transcendental place. So this Kshetra, Shishetra, that means Jagannath Puri, is a permanent holy place. You don't have to make it a holy place or consecrate it. So Lord Brahma said that, therefore I'm simply going to place a flag on top of the temple. That was Lord Brahma's contribution. And anyone who sees this flag will become immediately liberated. So every day at the temple they replace the flag. I mean, some devotees I know have the flag in their homes because they replace it. They can give a donation and get that flag from Lord Jagannath. Anyone who sees that, just like if you see the cart, you pull the cart, you help with the Rath Yatra in any way, you get liberated immediately. It's interesting, isn't it? That's all you have to do. And that's why we're liberating everybody who sees the carts of Lord Jagannath today, who sees the cart of Lord Jagannath today. Of course, to actually become a pure devotee, you've got to work at it. It's not that we just go to Rath Yatra, all right, I've seen the cart, now I can just watch television until I die. You know, watch what, Batman and whatever other things are popular. And just eat prasadam, of course, and then I'll die and go back to Godhead. No. Liberation is one thing, but going back to Godhead is another thing. You have to be a pure devotee, you have to work at it. Just like we were talking about yesterday during Lord Balaram's appearance, that Lord Balaram killed specific demons, Palambasura and Dainakasura. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Lord Balaram's killing those demons, which indicate those demons are connected with lust, anger, greed, the anarthas, specifically lust. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that that indicates that we take help from the instructions of the spiritual master, and of course Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master, so that we can work on conquering those things. It's not just an easy ride. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean you simply take a pill and you go back to Godhead. But yes, we can start the devotional service by seeing the card of Lord Jagannath, but then we have to work on getting rid of the anarthas. And those of us who have been in the movement for many, many years experience that you really have to keep working at it to remain steady and stable in Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, that flag was installed on top of the temple. But King Indra Jr. became a little bit depressed at that time because where's the deity? You know, Lord Brahma didn't want to install a deity, so where's the deity? And so he sat down on a kusha grass mat and he began to fast. And then he heard a voice. He said, don't worry, I will appear on the seashore as Daru Brahman and in a place called Bunki Muhan, which is where Lord Jagannath, or the wood for the deity, came. The king went there. The wood arrived on the shore, but the king couldn't move it. It was just like impossible. All the king, as he said before, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't move Daru Brahman again. So then he heard another voice from the sky, and the voice said, you should call for this previous servant, Vishvasu, who used to serve me as Nilamadhava, that's a Shavara, and he placed a golden chariot in front of me, and then I'll move. So the king did that. And he had a golden chariot that he had a kirtan, and they were able to move the deity. That wasn't a deity at that time. The deity was actually the wood. And the wood that later became the deity was moved to the king's palace, the temple. But the king wanted to have the deity carved because it was just a block of wood. So then he called for all the sculptors in his domain. And all the sculptors couldn't do anything with the wood. It was like stainless steel, basically. They kept hitting it with their chisels, and all the chisels kept breaking to pieces, and all the hammers kept breaking to pieces. And there was nothing they could do. Then the king got depressed again, got ready to leave his body. But then an architect appeared. And that's described in the Vedic literature. That architect was Vishvakarma. And there's another literature that describes it as Krishna himself. Anyway, there's different opinions about that. So Vishvakarma appeared, and Vishvakarma said, I will carve this deity in 21 days, but you have to let me have privacy and not interfere, because if you interfere with what I'm doing, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and it's going to be unfinished. So for 14 days, everybody heard the sound of the chisel on wood. But then after 14 days, the king got anxious because he couldn't hear anything. So he thought, maybe I should go in. But his minister said, no, you cannot go in and see what's happening. But then his wife said, yes. So rather than listen to the minister, he listened to his wife. That's good procedure. And his wife kept, you know, because his wife kept nagging. Ministers don't nag. So his wife said, you got to go in. You got to go in. You got to see what's happening. And so by force, he opened the door and he didn't see anything but the half-finished deities that we see as Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. And the king then thought, now I'm a great offender. I've made such an offense that the deities that were supposed to be put here in the temple will not be finished, will not be ready. But then, as he was fasting that night, getting ready to leave his body again, then he heard another voice, and the Lord said, I'm eternally situated here in Jagannath Puri in the form of Lord Jagannath. You should worship me with opulence in this form, which is the ornament of all ornaments. Hearing this, the king became very satisfied and said to Lord Jagannath, that please give me a benediction that let us grant anyone who appears in the family of the sculptor who manifests your form may age after age consist or continue to construct the three carts. You know, the three carts they use in the Rath Yatra. And Lord Jagannath said, that shall be. And Lord Jagannath said to the king, the descendants of Vishvasu, that is the Shabara, should generation after generation serve me, and they will be called Dayatas. That means those who have given mercy, those who have been given mercy. And the descendants of Vidyapati, born from a Brahmin wife, he had two wives, should do the deity worship, and the descendants of Vidyapati, born from Lalita, his Shabara wife, should be the ones who do the cooking, and they shall be known as Suyaras. And then the king asked for several more benedictions. He said, kindly grant me one more favor. He said, I want your temple only to be closed for 3 hours a day. The rest of the time it should be open, so everyone can have access to you. Also, I want that while you're awake, you should be eating continually. That means your hands will never get dry. There's no need to wash Lord Jagannath's hands, because he's eating, not 24, 21 hours a day. And there's 64 offerings a day. So Krishna granted that. And the king asked for one further benediction. He said, in the future, I don't want any of my descendants claiming this temple proprietorship. Therefore, I don't want any descendants. Let me be without any children. So Lord Jagannath said, okay, we will grant that too. And so there's one final verse I'd like to read from the Narada Purana. That's the Uttarakhanda, chapter 52, text 12, the Narada Purana. Very wonderful verse. The Supreme Lord Narayan tells Lakshmi Devi, in that great abode known as Purushottama Kshetra, which is rarely achieved amongst all the three worlds, the Keshava Devi, who is fashioned by the Supreme Lord himself, is situated. So there's some indication here that it was Krishna who was the sculptor rather than Vishwakarma, according to the Puranas. So I'm just quoting from the Puranas. If men simply see that deity, they are very easily able to come to my abode. So that's the story of the exoteric story of why Lord Jagannath looks like he does. And just to finish up the class, I just want to tell about the process of which Rath Yatra is a part. I'm going to go very quickly because we don't have much time. We have to get ready for Rath Yatra. First, as you know, there's the Snana Yatra, right? Snana Yatra means bath. And after Lord Jagannath takes a bath, he's supposed to get sick, right? Unless like, you have a sign here at the door, the ICU, intensive care, intensive unit. That means that someone's very sick. But actually, it's Lord Jagannath making believe he's sick. because he wants to remain with his family, with his wife, alone. So it's a pretend sick. Although the devotees take it as he's sick, and then they send him so many get-well cards, right? My dear Lord Jagannath, we're praying for your health to God, that you will get well. We're chanting for your benefit. So, just like if someone gets sick, we chant for their benefit. But he wants to be alone with his wife. It's called nibritta. Nibritta means a solitary confinement with Lakshmi. So, and also they repaired the deities at that particular time, too. That's something that occurs. So, as he's with his wife, as we mentioned before, his wife or his wives remind him of the residents of Vrindavan. So it causes him to feel more separation from the residents of Vrindavan, just to be with his wife. And after he's with his wife for 14 days, he decides, I want to go see the residents of Vrindavan. And so he tells his wife that I want to take a walk. He can't tell her the truth. Because if he tells her the truth, she'll never let him go. So, please, let me take a little walk. I need a little fresh air. We've been here for such a long period of time. And previous to that, there's been the Gundicha Marjana, which is the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, which represents Vrindavan. And, of course, Gundicha Marjana also represents the cleansing of the devotee's heart to make a place for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the Pandavijaya ceremony, Lord Jagannath leaves to go to the Gundicha temple, and as he's leaving, if you've ever been in Jagannath Puri during the Rath Yatra, there's a lot of music, and there's even jugglers going ahead of Lord Jagannath, and Lord Jagannath is carried, actually so heavy they can't really lift him up, so he's bounced from one silk pillow to another. Those silk cotton pillows are called tulis. And so then he mounts the cart. And the first thing that happens in the cart is what's called the Balaganda Viprasana, where he's offered food. And then Pratiparudra Maharaj begins to sweep the road in front of Lord Jagannath, showing his great humility, even though he happens to be the king. And Lord Jagannath proceeds to Gundicha. And there's many pastimes that occurred when Lord Chaitanya was present, such as the cart refusing to move unless Lord Chaitanya pushed it with his head. Similarly, the cart got stuck in front of the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur until Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought out his son, who later became Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he was able to perform Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's grain ceremony right in front of Lord Jagannath, and a garland fell from Lord Jagannath on Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then they arrive at the Gundicha temple after the Rath Yatra ceremony. And at the Gundicha temple, there's more food offered and bathing and Sankirtan festivals. And interestingly enough, when Lord Chaitanya and his associates get to the Gundicha temple, they become very childlike, like in the mood of Vrindavan. They start splashing each other in the Indradunya lake. They have these symbols. They imitate frogs. You know, remember, Lord Chaitanya is a very serious sannyasi. Very sober sannyasis. They were imitating frogs. Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda, they were fighting like children. And Lord Chaitanya was floating on top of Advaitacharya, who at that time imitated Anantashesh. And they also sported in another lake called the Narendra Sarovara. So after 5 days, Lakshmi figures out that her husband is somewhere else, with someone else. And so she becomes very, very angry. This is called the Heta Panchami. And as a result, she sends a palanquin with all of her associates. And her associates arrest the associates of Lord Jagannath, just like thieves, and they actually beat them. You know, play. It's a play. They beat them with sticks. And Lord Chaitanya said that Lakshmi exhibits anger that's very, very unique, unlike any anger that he's ever seen before. And Lord Chaitanya describes that there's three types of jealous women. This is very interesting for you ladies. There are the sober, restless. That's one, sober is one type, restless is another type, and mixed. So sober, of course, means they just tolerate. Restless means they get very angry and they're direct. And mixed means they're sarcastic, joking words. And they beat the cart and all of Lord Jagannath's servitors. And Lord Jagannath agrees, I'm coming back, but he still waits 4 more days to come back. And on the 9th day, there's the return rath. And then Lord Jagannath returns to Lakshmi and the opulence of Dwarka. So the significance is that the Rath Yatra festival is the bringing Lord Jagannath, or bringing Krishna, back to Vrindavan with the intense mood of separation of the residents of Vrindavan. So anyone who participates in this great pastime will certainly achieve Lord Jagannath's favor. So any questions or comments? I don't want to go on too long. That's the Rath Yatra ceremony described in a nutshell, and the esoteric and exoteric reasons for Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Questions? Comments?
So the mood that we should imbibe should be something like the gopis of Vrindavan?
The mood that we should imbibe, what I generally advise devotees is that to have the mood of Lord Chaitanya in presenting the exoteric mood of presenting Krishna consciousness to everybody while we're pulling the Jagannath cart. Although internally, if we're very advanced, we can have this other mood. We should have both moods. You know, that we're actually assisting the gopis in bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. But we should manifest, we shouldn't be so internal that we're not manifesting compassion for all the conditioned souls out there. And the reason we're having Jagannath Festival, Jagannath Rath Yatra everywhere, is to give the mercy out to all the conditioned souls. So as we're pulling the cart, we should, what I advise the devotees, you know, smile at everybody, you know, you can wave and have a nice kirtan to attract people to Lord Jagannath. It's not that we should be just so internal, you know, just like thinking of the gopis, or, you know, I'm assisting the gopis, that some poor conditioned soul comes, wants to pull the rope, he's like, you know, get out of there, I'm doing it, you rascal. The whole idea is a mood of compassion. And Prabhupada actually said that the Sankirtan devotees, the mood of the Sankirtan devotees is in the same mood as the gopis of Vrindavan. That is, the devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness. There was one letter the Prabhupada wrote, I believe it was to Ramaswami. So both things can be had, but generally, when I'm in Rath Yatra, I'm thinking, you know, to attract people. I want people to really join the festival. So those people who are on the cart should be waving, you know, make it joyous so that everyone's attracted to this wonderful festival. Any other questions or comments? Otherwise, we have to end because we have a lot of things to do today. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Ki Jai.